The baby making years are hard. I'm Dr. Sterling, and I'm here to help. Welcome to the Ask Dr. Sterling podcast.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or qualified health provider with any medical questions you may have.
Hi, lovelies. Dr. Sterling here, and I've got some news. This summer, we are launching the Sterling Parents mobile app to provide a better search and support experience for your trying to conceive pregnancy and postpartum journey, eliminating the need to search for advice from multiple sources. While we develop this support system, I'll be sharing key lessons from our Sterling Parents pregnancy and postpartum courses right here on our podcast. In the coming months, these episodes will address your most pressing concerns, helping lighten your emotional load and boost your confidence. Tune in weekly for this special series and updates on our app's features. You won't want to miss it. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Dr. Sterling here. In this video, we're going to discuss genetic screening in pregnancy. By the end of this video, you will understand the factors to consider when deciding whether or not to do genetic screening in your pregnancy. You will also understand the different genetic screening options so that you can make the best choice for yourself and your family. Now, there are two different types of genetic testing that's done in pregnancy. There is screening tests, and then there are diagnostic tests. The diagnostic tests include an amniocentesis, and that's when a very thin needle is put into the amniotic sac and some amniotic fluid is removed. And then something called chronic villus sampling that happens earlier in pregnancy and is similar in technique. Now, we are not talking about those options right now in this video. In this video, we're talking about genetic screening options. Now, a screening test is fundamentally different than a diagnostic test. A screening test is telling us there might be a problem. A diagnostic test tells us there's a problem and this is what it is. Now, other screening tests are things like pap smears, mammograms, colonoscopies. We get them, and then if we get an abnormal result, we're thinking, okay, maybe there's something wrong. And then we go and we have a biopsy. And the biopsy is the diagnostic test that tells us either there is something wrong or there isn't and what that problem is. So screening tests are designed differently than diagnostic tests. A screening test is designed to cast a wide net because we want to make sure that anyone who potentially has a problem is going to have an abnormal result, so we know to do the further testing. We don't want to miss someone in screening. So that means that screening tests typically have a higher rate of something called false positives. That means the screening test comes back abnormal, but in the end, there's nothing wrong. Everything is okay. That's just how screening tests are designed. Now, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here a little bit, so I'm going to turn the camera around so that we can focus on the screen. All right, first, we have to talk about DNA. We all have DNA. Our DNA is organized into different chromosomes. The normal number of chromosomes is 46. We get 23 from sperm. For some of us, that corresponds to our dad, it may be a sperm donor, and we get 23 from an egg. For some of us, that corresponds to a mom, or another parent, or an egg donor. Now, there are many types of genetic disorders. Some genetic disorders involve a problem in just one gene, or in a subset of genes. Some genetic disorders involve entire chromosomes. Remember, a chromosome contains lots and lots of genes. Genetic screening in pregnancy typically looks for trisomy 21, Down syndrome, trisomy 18, trisomy 13, and abnormalities of the sex chromosome, such as only having one X chromosome, that's called Turner syndrome, or having two X chromosomes and a Y chromosome, and that's called Klinefelter syndrome. Trisomy 13 and 18 are most often, though not always, fatal conditions. The trisomies happen when instead of having two copies of a chromosome, we have three copies of a chromosome. So we have too much genetic material. In pregnancy, we are pretty good at screening for genetic problems that involve an entire chromosome. We are starting to develop technologies to screen for those smaller problems, and we are getting better, but we have not arrived just yet, and more research needs to be done on these techniques. So why do genetic testing? One reason is that it could change the management of your pregnancy. Now, I know many of you may be thinking, well, I wouldn't terminate a pregnancy, so I don't want to do genetic testing. Now, it is 100% okay to arrive at that decision, but what you have to understand is that we use these results for far more than just deciding whether or not to have an abortion or pregnancy termination. And just because you wouldn't consider terminating a pregnancy does not mean you would not benefit from knowing or suspecting that your child has a genetic condition in advance. Birth and postpartum are intense, and processing a new medical diagnosis for your child in the midst of it can be difficult. Once I've presented the capabilities and limitations of genetic testing, you will be able to make an informed decision with your provider about the best option for you. Remember, we don't all have the same risk of having a baby with a chromosomal abnormality. Our family history, age, weight, and so on contribute to our baseline risk. What is right for you is not necessarily right for another person. All right, let's talk about your genetic screening options. The first option that we're going to discuss is something called cell-free DNA. This detects baby's DNA in your bloodstream. It can be done as early as 10 weeks, and it also tells you the sex chromosomes if you want. It's going to detect about 99% of cases of trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. This option has the lowest rate of false positives of any of the screening tests. A false positive, remember, happens when a baby does not have a chromosomal abnormality, but the screening test comes back abnormal. So you can imagine it would be best to avoid this. We are starting to see companies offering analysis of more than just the fetal chromosomes using this cell-free DNA technique. Some are even offering an analysis of the full genome, meaning all of baby's genetic material. However, the accuracy of this testing has not been established, and consumers should proceed with caution. Now, the next option we're going to talk about is what's called the first trimester screening. This includes a blood test, which is different than cell-free DNA, but it is also a blood test, and a specific type of ultrasound called a nuchal translucency ultrasound. This test is done between 10 weeks and 13 weeks and 6 days. The timing is very important here. The blood test measures levels of different things called analytes in the pregnant person's blood. The nuchal translucency ultrasound measures a fold of tissue on the back of the fetal neck. During the ultrasound, they also typically do a quick survey of the brain, heart, and spine. The combination of the first trimester blood test and the nuchal translucency ultrasound detects about 85% of cases of trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. That means that 15% of the babies born with Down syndrome would have normal results from this test. Now, the next genetic screening option we're going to talk about is called the second trimester screening. It is a blood test that is done between 15 weeks and 0 days and 22 weeks and 6 days that not only tells a person about their baby's risk of having a chromosomal abnormality, but also can assess the risk of a neural tube defect, a problem with baby's spine such as spina bifida. An abnormal second trimester screening, even if baby is perfect, can signal something else is going on with the pregnancy, which is why I believe everyone should strongly consider doing the second trimester screen, even if you do nothing else. An abnormal result from the second trimester screening, even if there are no genetic, no anatomical problems with baby, signals that the pregnancy may be at higher risk of problems with baby's growth, a blood pressure condition of pregnancy known as preeclampsia, preterm labor, in addition to a number of other pregnancy complications. We typically keep a much closer eye on people who have an abnormal result from this test to ensure if one of these complications should arise, we are catching it early.
By itself, if you only do the second trimester blood test, we detect about 81% of cases of Down syndrome or trisomy 21. Many people opt to do a combination of the first and second trimester screening. There are multiple different ways of offering the first and trimester screenings. You can do the first trimester blood draw, the nuchal translucency ultrasound, followed by the second trimester blood draw, and then after all of those components are complete, look at all of the results to calculate an overall risk once all the testing is done. Or you can do something like do the first trimester blood draw and or the ultrasound and give some results, but then reevaluate the risk once the second trimester blood draw is done. Several different ways. In the United States, these screening programs are actually run by the state. So California, as a state, has a specific way they offer this testing. So your OB provider doesn't have complete control over how this testing is done. Because the exact arrangement of this testing varies by state, you will need to consult your OB provider to get more details about exactly what options are available to you. Combining the results of these different tests in some fashion is going to increase the detection rate. By itself, the first trimester blood draw, the one that's looking at the analytes, which is different than the cell-free DNA, has a detection rate for Down syndrome of somewhere in the 80s, like 80%. The nuchal translucency ultrasound has about a 70% detection rate on its own. And then the second trimester blood draw has about an 81% detection rate on its own. But when you combine these three things, the first trimester blood draw, the nuchal translucency ultrasound, and the second trimester blood draw, you get a 96% detection rate for Down syndrome. At this point, we've talked about three different blood tests that are available: the cell-free DNA, the first trimester blood test, and the second trimester blood test. When it comes to the blood tests, if you decide to do genetic screening, we recommend choosing either the cell-free DNA or the first trimester blood test, not both. The results of the second trimester blood test can be combined either with the results from the cell-free DNA or with the results from the first trimester blood test to give a risk assessment. If you choose to do the first trimester blood draw instead of the cell-free DNA, adding a nuchal translucency ultrasound is going to increase your detection rate of chromosomal abnormalities. However, a nuchal translucency measurement alone does not add benefit in detecting an abnormal number of chromosomes when cell-free DNA screening has been performed in a singleton pregnancy, meaning pregnancy with just one baby. We'll discuss twins at the end. Now, the final component of genetic screening in pregnancy is the second trimester fetal anatomy ultrasound. All people should be offered an ultrasound to assess their baby's anatomy between 18 to 22 weeks. There are some findings on ultrasound that raise our suspicion for a baby with a chromosomal abnormality. However, this is not the only reason for this ultrasound, mind you. A baby can have a heart condition or a brain condition and have normal chromosomes. So we offer these ultrasounds to look for many different types of problems, many of which are not genetic. So what should you do? Number one, you want to talk to your OB provider about your specific situation, because again, we do not all have the same risk of having a baby with a chromosomal abnormality. Two, in most circumstances, those who want to do the screening with the highest possible chance of detecting a chromosomal abnormality will be advised to consider cell-free DNA plus the second trimester blood draw and the fetal anatomy ultrasound between 18 and 22 weeks. Some choose to do the nuchal translucency as well, even though it does not increase the detection rate of a chromosomal abnormality if you've done cell-free DNA. Many who would not consider pregnancy termination may decide to forego genetic screening, though, as I stated previously, the second trimester blood test can signal a high-risk pregnancy that warrants closer monitoring, and so you may want to proceed with a second trimester blood draw for that reason. I am a strong believer that everyone should seriously consider an ultrasound at 18 to 22 weeks. It is your body, and I have had patients decline this examination. But there are certain congenital problems, such as a heart defect, that we want to have a team of doctors assembled and ready for when baby is born. There are even fetal conditions that used to be universally fatal that we can now operate on baby inside of your womb before they are born and save their lives. These conditions are rare. Only about 2 to 3% of babies have a congenital malformation, and most of those are not fatal. Now, a word about twins. Twins have a lower detection rate overall for chromosomal abnormalities, and they are at increased risk of chromosomal abnormalities. So we typically recommend, if somebody wants to increase the detection rate for a chromosomal abnormality in one or both of the babies, that we do genetic screening at multiple different levels. So the blood test, either the cell-free DNA or the first trimester blood draw, in addition to the second trimester blood test, in addition to the nuchal translucency ultrasounds, and in addition to the fetal anatomy ultrasounds at 18 to 22 weeks. We do our best. Their detection rate is never going to be as good as it is with the singleton pregnancies, but this is what we can do. I also want to make sure that you all understand that even if you have a negative screening result, meaning your screening test comes back normal and you have normal ultrasounds, while this does mean that you are at very low risk of having a baby with a chromosomal abnormality, it does not ensure that baby is unaffected. There are genetic conditions and anatomical problems that can be missed by this testing. All right, y'all, I know this was a really dense, heavy video. I'm sending you a big hug right now. You did it. It's totally okay if you have to watch it a few times. This stuff is not easy to understand. All right, until next time.
Thanks for listening to Ask Dr. Sterling. Is there someone in your life who would benefit from listening to this episode? Send it to them. If you've left a review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you so much. Please send me a DM at Ask Dr. Sterling Podcast on Instagram with a screenshot so I can say thank you personally.